Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. And as we continue on in the message I began this week, our spiritual authority, let me just share a verse, a couple verses actually, from Luke, the 10th chapter. These are the words of Jesus. And he said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." He's referring, of course, to demon entities, "and over all power of the enemy." He's clarifying it there. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Amen. That's the bottom line. That's the most important thing God is doing. I shared recently in a letter to the partners that the most important thing, of course, is to preach the Great Commission, because we are living in the end of times. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but by the way prophecy is being fulfilled, the way the world nations and situations are lining up, we will see the return of the Lord soon. And I don't think anyone who's wise would attempt to set dates, but the return of the Lord is nigh. And so if this is indeed true, then it is important that we do all we can. He is wanting his people to share, to witness, each of us in our own ability, in our own metron of authority or influence, the people, the circumstances and the situations in which we are, the location in which we live, our neighborhood or our place of work or whatever, that we have the ability through personal conversation and contact, through phone calls, through letters, emails, however, we can be a blessing, or social media, a blessing and encouragement to others, and to share the Word of God. And so it's important that we do that. And also, the Lord is working to perfect each one of us in our spiritual life. It says in Ephesians, until we fivefold ministry, until we all come to the measure of a perfect man under the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose, his modus operandi, the Holy Spirit. He wants to make us like Jesus. Hallelujah. For when he comes, we shall be as he is. We shall see him as he is. Praise God. So when we look at the world around us, humanity is beset by a host of problems and difficulties. And it's not just, you know, personal problems they have within themselves, their own psychological or emotional hang-ups. There are evil spirits or personalities called demons who are responsible for many of the problems, the difficulties, the complexities, the spiritual pressure, the strains, and the aggravated forms of evil that so characterize our social disorders today. If any of you are up in news, you can remember how different society was back in the 40s and the 50s. A school bombing? Whoever would have even considered such a thing, for example? And beloved, when we truly understand our authority, that we have to overcome the works of darkness, it won't make any difference what form the demon activity may take or whatever hindrance they would bring. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, let me read verse 11. "And they overcame him." These are the saints of God, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." And there's a description in this chapter of the war in heaven and the expulsion of Satan and his angels into the earth. And the writer states, he adds, that in warfare that is set up against their brethren as a result of Satan's expulsion. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. The victory was won by the blood of the Lamb, the shed blood of Jesus, his atoning work, and the word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony, not only what God has done in their lives, but the testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And the very word of God, that is our testimony. I was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. And in this reference to the blood of the Lamb, it points us directly to Calvary and the victory which was won there over the arch enemy of God as well as man. Satan heard that, the serpent heard that word which was spoken to Eve, the seed of the woman will crush your head. That's why there was unimaginable evil. While God had to destroy all of mankind except for Noah and his sons and their wives, because there was, it says there was such evil on the earth, it says God, it repented God that he had made man because there was such evil. And of course, we know a great deal has to do with the, you know, the watchers, those angels that descended upon Mount Hermon, as it says in Genesis 6, and the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. And as a result of that, we have the Nephilim, we have the giants, and that continued even to the time of David, because we have to believe that's true, because we know that young David killed a lion with a rock and a sling. And so these were the results. You see, the devil has done everything he can to destroy Jesus. And we know the New Testament, what it says in the epistles. You know, he would have never killed the Lord of glory if he knew what was going to happen. Probably all hell was rejoicing when Jesus died. They got rid of him. They killed him. Oh, but dear, then he has the keys of death and hell, and he goes down to preach to the souls in the who were in the bosom of Abraham. Those godly saints that existed before or throughout the Old Testament. And he ascended on high, leading captivity captive, praise God. So, you know, if you look at Calvary from just a natural perspective, it certainly looked like a major defeat. And to the natural man, you know, someone that doesn't believe in Jesus or that he rose from the dead, it looks like Satan won. Obviously, Jesus, well, he was a good man, a prophet, but you know, that was the end of him. Man, beloved, was originally made for authority. He was created and fashioned for dominion. All you have to do is read the charge that he gave to Adam and Eve. When Adam came fresh from the hand of God, and remember, God made him. He spoke the worlds into existence. He made heaven and earth. He spoke and created light and all the animals, but he created Adam from the very ground that was of the earth. The hand of God formed him, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he was given rulership of the earth, kingship over its forces in life. And in Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. David declares in Psalm 8:6, thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That was God's original plan. We blew it in the garden, our first parents, but Jesus came to restore that authority and dominion to man, and we shall rule and reign with him. So anyone who thinks that it makes no difference whether Christ was divine or not, are the result of either malice of aforethought or reprehensible loose thinking. That individual either has a bad heart or a loose brain. If Jesus was not immaculately conceived by the Holy Spirit, then he was just simply the son of Mary and Joseph. And if that was true, he inherited Adam's disposition to sin with all the rest of us. But beloved, he was supernaturally conceived. He was born, as the prophet Isaiah said, of a virgin, and he did not sin. We had to have a sinless Redeemer. He, in his humanity, had to pay the price for our sin. And he, Jesus, that second man, Adam, if you will, paid that awful price and earned the right by his victorious suffering and death and his resurrection to receive, you see, God the Father put his stamp of approval, to receive a name greater than any other name under heaven. Praise God. How wonderful is that? You know, I think, I don't know if I can quote it right, but the basic context or content of what C.S. Lewis said, you know, Jesus was either, he either was who he said he was, or he was a madman or a consummate liar. So you can't have it either way. He either was or he wasn't who he said he was. And the world would have us to believe that he was just another man. And if that were true, he was Satan's slave, which was not true. The demons cried out. They knew who he was. He didn't permit them to speak. And if he was Satan's slave, he was both legally and morally disqualified to enter the battle for the redemption of the human race. The fallen son of the morning, the highest of all pre-Adamic created beings, Lucifer, light-bearer, marshaled all his subtlety and intelligence and power to destroy the Son of God. Satan did his best and worst to destroy Jesus. He told Jesus in Luke 4:6 that the power and dominion had been handed over to him. He was legally correct. It was handed over by Adam, but Jesus came to take back, hallelujah, what the devil has stolen through his lies. Praise God. Well, my time is gone, and as I said, for those of you who walk with the Lord, this is, you know, fundamental information, but we need to share with others how important it is once they've accepted Jesus. Beloved, you know, I found from my own experience, there's a honeymoon experience, and after a few months, you'd better be reading the Word of God, because then the devil comes with his power and with his force. You know, he has power. You know, he didn't lose that power, but he lost the authority. And in Jesus, we have power and authority over him. Praise God. Well, beloved, I love you. And the announcer will give our contact information. Do write, share your needs. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.